Welcome, everybody. And oh my goodness, it's 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Hello, everybody. And thank you for joining. I am Sarah Grillo, welcoming you to my webinar about how to meet new clients during the holiday season. If you want to meet new clients, say yeah, yeah. All right. So the origin of this webinar was that I felt like back when I was an advisor, and that was when I used to be an advisor, I just felt like people were always saying like, oh, you know, I'll get to this in the new year, or, you know, kind of considered the holidays a dead zone for prospecting. And I'm actually going to teach you an entirely different approach. In fact, it's the opposite. I feel like if you do this right, the holiday could be just kind of like in retail. That's when like, what, you know, half the sales for the year come from. I think this could really be an awesome opportunity. In some way, you are targeting the retail investor, a lot of you, right? So what I've done is I've put together a webinar here that's going to, hi, everybody, I'm Sarah. That's what I look like. I know a lot of you like read my blogs and stuff, and you might not know what I look like except for that one like little picture I have. But this is me. That's me at a keynote speaking engagement that I gave. So the first thing, I just want to cover some ground rules. Thank you for all you being here, by the way. So excited. Please stay on mute. I muted you all, no offense, but you know, people like me are always like typing during webinars, as you should be multitasking. So I just want to be the center of attention here for the next 20 minutes or so. I welcome any comments or questions though, and just please type them into the chat box. You don't have to wait until the end. I'll try to answer them as we go along. So, you know, anybody who unmutes or doesn't follow these instructions, you're going to get scolded. And I have three children, ages 4 and younger, so I will definitely scold you because I'm very good at scolding. In fact, that's all I do. So I'm taking away privileges. Just kidding. Like the bouncy house. The other day I had to take away the bouncy house because people didn't eat lunch. It was kind of traumatic for the whole family. Anyways. So before we get too into this here, I just want to disclaim for legal purposes, this webinar is being recorded. It's just because I wanted to offer a webinar replay. I don't want anyone to have to worry about taking notes while we speak here today. So if you want to not be on a recorded line, I'm making it clear that you are right now. This is just going to get posted to my podcast page and my YouTube channel. And like I said, you know, your identity will never be revealed unless that is if you ask a question in the chat box. So if you want to say adios, that's fine. Just log off. I hope that you don't. But if you do, we can still be friends and I will not hold it against you. So here's what we're going to be doing today. I'm going to be giving you some ideas about holiday prospecting. Now, I know a lot of you are going to be leaving early, so unlike leaving this until the end, which is the goodies, I'm going to give you the goodies first, everybody, okay? So here's the first thing. My next webinar is going to be on technology for financial planning, and it's going to be about the 2019 innovations. And I'm actually teaming up with eMoney Advisor. You may know them. And you could just sign up for this next webinar on my website. And while you're on my website, I just want to mention also, hey, everybody that's just joining, thank you so much, by the way, for being here. I see people are coming on as I'm speaking. I just want to mention also, as people are coming on, that what I'm doing for you is I'm offering a special promotion for anybody who's on the webinar today. As you know, I recently launched a monthly membership where I provide videos that demonstrate online prospecting techniques. So like, for example, how to snag down some leads from LinkedIn, how to communicate with centers of influence, accountants, attorneys, etc. on LinkedIn. That's what, for example, this month's content is about. Now, I'm really giving you a huge discount here on the first month. It's a $25 discount. You're going to use this code today, though. It's right here, Grill Hall Web. Please, folks, do take advantage of this offer. It's a great service that I'm providing, and like I said, I'm giving you a huge discount here. So that's also, you can just sign up right now via my website. So just make sure you click that link and check that out. Would love to have you be with me in my monthly membership, okay? Let me know if you have any questions on that. So I organized this. So I'm an easily bored person, and I always ask myself, if I were on my own webinar or if I were in one of the talks that I was giving as a keynote, would I think that it was boring? Because I hate boredom. So to avoid boring you, I'm just going to tell you up front, this is how this webinar is going to go. I've got some in-person holiday prospecting ideas. I'm going to cover those first. And the reason is that I think, despite all the social media infiltration, I think advisors are still getting a lot of their business in person, face-to-face, and a lot of it has to do with their clients. So I'm going to cover in-person techniques first. And then I'm also going to cover social media because, you know, I myself do a lot over social media. I get an awful lot of leads through social media. In fact, I think most of my business comes from the internet at this point. So that's really important too. But I know that advisors may be not as into social media as they are into in person. So that's how I organize this, okay? That's what you're going to get on this webinar. If this is not of interest to you, feel free to leave. But on your way out, by the way, please do visit my website and just check out that video monthly membership portal, like I said, or sign up for the next webinar because it would be, you know, maybe that would be better. So are you bored yet? I hope not. That's actually another picture of me for all of you who don't know what I look like. So I'm going to cover in-person holiday prospecting ideas. I'm really trying hard not to bore y'all, like I said. So a little bit of trivia, and these are actual based on fact here. Okay, I did not make these up. According to Punchbowl, there's an article. The sources are cited at the end of this slide deck. I could send you the article if you want. But here's what I found, which is really interesting that a lot of people don't realize about the holidays. Most companies have a holiday party. I think something like 80, 90% of them do. And what day of the year are the most holiday party invitations sent? It's really interesting. It is actually the first Monday in December. Okay, so advisors, I'm going to tell you the first thing about that. If you're having a holiday party and you're going to send the invitations, if you haven't sent them yet, don't send them Monday, all right? Because you want to set yourself apart from what every other advisor is doing. That's the first thing. Second thing is these ideas that I'm giving you on this webinar, there still is time. If you haven't sent out the invitations yet, there's still time to revise your party. And you're probably going to want to do that based on what you're about to hear. So just you might want to check that, right? So what is the average number of guests invited to a holiday schmarty? According to Punchbowl, the average number of guests is 47. What the heck? Hey, who's doing that? What is the average number of guests invited to a holiday party? Okay, I'm going to scold. Did I tell you I scold people on my webinars? Chat, it's in the chat box. What am I doing wrong here that I can't hear you? Oh, somebody can't hear me. I hope that's not a common problem. What is the average number of guests invited to a holiday party? 47 people, okay? So what does that tell you? If you're holding a holiday party, if you do the math on that, then the average company spends like $1,000 on a holiday party. To get you in front of 47 people, that's actually a pretty high cost of a potential lead. Considering that on Facebook, I'm getting content in front of people for 42 cents a click in some cases, you know, for all you that are still kind of stuck on the idea of throwing a holiday party, just so you know, this is actually one of the more expensive forms of marketing and advertising that exists out there. But for all of you that are attending holiday parties, not giving them, if the average number of guests invited to a holiday party is 47, then I think those are pretty good numbers. So you should just be going to as many holiday parties as you can if you really want to max out the pipeline this holiday season. So this is how the holiday party typically goes. Who did that to my screen, by the way? It must be because I have kids, like people feel they want to scribble and stuff, or I just must be attracting the scribbling. Was that like a divine intervention of some sort? Okay, anyways, how does the holiday party typically go? Okay, so you're throwing it. You invite your clients and maybe like some of your friends or something to take pictures or just to, you know, be with you. So it doesn't, in case nobody decides to show up, you don't look like a loser. I mean, I'm just saying it, right? Like, that's what everyone does. And then the clients, you say, oh yeah, bring someone, you bring a guest. And they may or may not bring someone who's a viable prospect, but you're really giving them control over it, right? And then it's going to cost you $2,000. You're going to have it at like a buttoned up dinner at a restaurant. And then everyone drinks the free booze and you foot the bill. I mean, it's all on you, right? And very few people actually get leads from this kind of a situation. Or if you're attending one that someone else throws. How I was, like, not that I booze anymore or do anything fun, because I have, like I said, 3 kids ages 4 and younger. So my life revolves around, like, Disney movies like Frozen and Thomas the Train. I had to buy a Thomas the Train toddler bed, by the way, over Thanksgiving. But this is, like, what my life revolves around. So no fun holiday parties anymore for me. But when I did used to go to these holiday parties, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I was like, I want to meet guys. Or I was like, I want to get some free booze out of it, right? So this is really, I think, why a lot of people, unfortunately, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but you know me, I can't keep myself from saying the truth, is that you show up hoping to get the free booze or food, you meet a few people, you give them an elevator pitch, you thrust or shove your business card at them. Some of them are kind of like, oh yeah, that's interesting. And then you never hear back from them. And you enjoy a great hangover the next day, right? Okay, so this is how it goes, but this is how I would like it to go in the future, okay? I'm going to tell you the formula. It's going to work a lot better. So first of all, you invite clients, okay? But the main driver of attendance is marketing outreach to unsold customers, centers of influence that you can't seem to crack, or new prospects that you attract through your marketing. Right. And so, yes, I do think you should have like a core group of people, maybe some really kind of like good clients that are always referring you people. But this really should be more a marketing opportunity and the chance to get in front of new prospects, as opposed to an event to entertain clients. All right. I would also suggest taking the focus away from food and drink and having it be a breakfast or a lunch. Not too many people are going to be boozing during the day. But I just would say that by having it at kind of an off time like that, you know, especially like an early morning breakfast party, breakfast brunch, you know, breakfast holiday party. I think that definitely takes the focus away from it says something a little bit different, and it makes it a little bit more of a functional kind of activity. You could invite a keynote speaker, you know, you could make it more as something as part of the business day and make it a little bit, maybe even focused on the trade, right? Rather than having it just be entirely social, like at night and revolving around socializing, drinking and eating, which is how most holiday parties end up, which is why leads end up generally not coming from them. Makes sense. And so the other thing is, I think you should party with a purpose. Man, that's a great Twitter hashtag, isn't it? Da-da-da-da! Give me credit for that one. I should like trademark that, okay? I would make the purpose of the party clear, and I'm going to give you some examples, but you really want to build a community and encourage relationships to be built. Really, what is a party? It's a social gathering, okay? It should really be less about you, and it should be more about the people at the party building relationships and aligning themselves with something, okay? So the party itself should be a community-building activity when the people link to each other, and by doing so, they're going to inadvertently link closer to you, assuming that everyone that you invited is connected to you in some way, okay? So, and the other thing is, follow-up should occur over social media. Capture those people, capture their attention. My clients aren't on internet. Got news for you, okay? My parents, right, who I dearly love, are like probably the least social media savvy people like on the face of the earth. No offense, mom and dad. I appreciate all of my genes and the life that you gave me, but it's true. They are not on social media. They're, you know, retired, right? Now, I do hear from them, though, that, you know, they do crack open the Facebook, though, to see pictures of their grandchildren. So I just want to dispel the myth right there. Almost everybody is on Facebook, okay, of all ages. So I would use that as a tool. Doesn't cost you anything. Set up a group so that these people can stay in touch with each other. Again, build the community advisors, right? The more they're bonded to each other, the more they're going to be bonded to you because they'll remember. So here's the diff, right? Scenario A, party at night, people boozing, people showing up just to kind of have a good time, right? There's not the same sense of community. There's not the same sense of purpose. And so what I'm talking to you is about alignment. How do we get people to align with us? We have to evoke our brands, okay? And this is, I've written a lot about this on my website. Check it, podcast, tons of content about that. If you don't know how to do that, you know, I don't want this webinar to necessarily be about your brand, but I'm going to get to that when I talk about in person. How do you talk with somebody about what you do? Because your brand should be shining through at that point. But advisors normally kill it with the words they use. No offense. So how are you talking at these holiday parties? Okay. You know, it's inevitably going to come to the question. So what do you do? Oh, I'm a financial advisor with UBS. Oh, I'm a financial advisor with Merrill. Oh, I'm with Morgan Stanley. I'm an advisor there. Oh, I'm an advisor with Red Oak, Black Bark, Black Tree, Brown Tree, Red Hill, Old Hill, Young Hill, Investments, all right, or planners or advisors, right? I mean, the names in the industry are kind of cliched, right? So the assumptions that someone's going to have when you say that, it's they'll kind of nod their heads and smile, but you're just kind of saying nothing to them, okay? It's really kind of a valueless statement. And the chances are, especially if you're talking about like a big wirehouse name, it may kind of impress some people, but chances are they already know somebody from there or know someone that works at a similar wirehouse. And that's just the truth, right? So it really is like in identifying yourself that way, and especially if you're talking to someone like a millennial or like a Gen Xer like me, you know, remember that you could kind of be turning me off, because the idea that many millennials and Gen Xers, and this is just the reality, is that what's been thrown at them through the media. I mean, you remember the Occupy movement, okay? These are the people who have been through having to live in their parents' basement or having a humiliating layoff at the hands of Wall Street. So if you're talking about that you work at Morgan Stanley, it might kind of, you see what I'm saying? Like, it might kind of automatically like brand you in a way that, right? They're not going to be too fond of, okay? So the other thing is, or let's say you don't work at like a big name kind of firm and you kind of say what a lot of advisors say also. So, hey, you meet somebody at the party, right? Say, hey, what do you do? Oh, I'm a wealth advisor. And by the way, I wrote about this recently on an article that came out in Advisor Perspectives. It's cited in the at the end of this webinar, but it's also on Advisor Perspectives, what not to say at the holiday party. I'm a wealth advisor who works with affluent families and individuals and helps them with retirement or helps them achieve their retirement goals or helps them achieve their life goals or whatever it is that you advisors say. But you know what I'm saying, right? You've heard this line before, right? Oh yeah, we've been around about 20 years. We have 5 PhDs working for us, and we have a really great proprietary model which serves clients with optimal asset allocations. And we've been in Barron's. We were recently in a Barron's article. Aren't we cool? Okay, so what the problem is here is that these are just kind of bad examples of advisors trying to be, and it's not that I'm faulting you for it. Trust me, when I was in the field, I did the same thing. And if there's one thing I do in life, it's just to kind of dispel this and break this, is that it really shouldn't be about you and your competence and you and your achievements and appearing like you know everything or that you are the smartest financial advisor in the world. Because to be honest with you, people aren't really looking for that. What are they really looking for? What do they want an advisor to be? They want an advisor to be understanding. They want an advisor to be caring. They want an advisor that's going to know what's on their mind, that's going to make the right decision for them without them having to say it. They want an advisor that they can kind of identify with, that they know is not going to judge them or think that what they're into is weird, right? Like, I mean, you're like me, like I have a million kids, right? Like I have 3 kids ages 4 and younger. If I had an advisor that didn't have any kids or any grandkids, and I'm talking about like this, what I care about in my life, right? Other than my business, what I care about in my life is my kids, you know, and like, I'm obsessed with them. I can't stop talking about them all the time. You know this. So if I had an advisor that didn't have any interest in children, that just was childless or didn't like children or didn't know the issues that happen with children or what I need to look out for with my kids, right? Like, that would really be a bad combination for me. I wouldn't really be appealing to me as a person, right? So how do you show warmth? How do you show personality? I'm going to tell you that. How do you bring your brand across in a way that is going to make people emotionally connect with you right there in the party? And it's not through saying some things like what a lot of advisors say, like these lines that I'm giving you, right? I'm not saying that all of you use this, you know, if you want to Twitter rant at me about how mean and nasty I am, but I'm just saying this is what I was taught, and I see a lot of advisors, you know, or the spiel about like, I'm an advisor at a fee-only investment firm, and we specialize in like, you know, index ETFs or whatever. Or I'm a financial advisor for women. First of all, like, how many, like, there's so many different kinds of like women out there, right? Like, so what, single women, divorced women, women that are married, women, women with kids, women without kids, 20-year-old women, 30-year-old women, female attorneys, female engineers, right? Women is no longer a niche, first of all. And you know, it just can come across as kind of like not easy to connect to. All right. So how do you connect? I'm going to give you some good examples. So use it to tell a story and speak from the heart and speak like you're talking to a person. Leave the jargon aside. All right. So you're at the holiday party. Hey, what do you do for a living, Sarah? Let's just pretend that I was an investment advisor. Okay, I'm not anymore, just for the record, for all of you that are like, is she still an advisor? No, I'm not. I gave that up. I had too many children in a row and I couldn't do it anymore. So, but I'm doing this, which is actually much better. But for me, not for anybody else necessarily. But so someone says, what do you do for a living? And then I say, well, one thing I feel really strongly about is I've seen a lot of business people in my life that invest so much in their business and aren't necessarily protecting it or coming up with strategies around it. And so if something goes wrong in the business, they're really in a lot of trouble. So that's one of the things that I do in my financial practice. And then you shut up, right? And then just see what they say. Or you could say something like, do you know anyone that that's ever happened to? Have you ever seen that happen in real life? And then just see what they say. You could say something like, hey, so here's the question again, right? So, hey, Sarah, what do you do? What do you do for a living? I say, well, a few years ago, I just decided that I felt like women who are divorced really have so much stress. And I've just seen this in so many people that are in my social circle. So I created a company that helps them deal with all the challenges that they may come into and see what they say. Right. And a lot of times when you talk like that, it comes across much more as a story. And I realize I'm doing this poorly here, right? Like no one can tell your story better than you. These are just examples. But what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to show you how you can talk to people and not talk at them, but kind of connect with them. And maybe you wouldn't have said what I said, but I'm giving you an idea, right? Or you could tell another story, right? So, hey, Sarah, what do you do for a living? I guess the best way to answer that instead of boring you with some boring pitch is that when I was a kid, I really always used to love jigsaw puzzles. And I just find that many times in our lives, our finances are kind of an enigma to us. So what I do is I help people kind of figure out that puzzle using vehicles that are called exchange-traded funds or ETFs or using what's called financial planning. Something like that, okay? Now, that, you know, maybe I said that poorly. Don't quote me on any of this. But this is just the idea I'm giving you is that, like, I mean, advisors, this is it right here. This is how people are going to make an impression of you and connect with you or not. And when you notice the eyes glazing over from the pitches that you're doing, or maybe if they say they're interested and you're giving them your business card, there's just not enough of a brand impression for them to really feel compelled that they would actually become a prospect after the party. And then you're back at square one, which is you're left with like some hangovers from the free booze. So before you do the business card shove, and by the way, I'm not even a fan of the business card shove. I would much rather have you say, hey, by the way, where are you on LinkedIn? Are you on Facebook? I'd love to connect with you right here. If that's how you see the conversation going, business card, I think, is going to be an extinct dinosaur like in the next 5, 10 years. All right. We're moving to a paperless society. People like me, I don't even have a printer in my house. It's because my kids break everything. I don't need to go buy an expensive printer and then have them break it. But what I'm saying is I would much rather have you instantly connect with somebody over LinkedIn or social media rather than just unilaterally give them your business card and then you never know what they're really even going to do with that. So creative party ideas. Singles matchmaking party. Like, why not design the party? And I talked about party, hashtag party with the purpose. Why not have the purpose of the party be to set up some people, especially like for all of you out there that are saying you work with divorced people or like maybe single people, right? Like, why not have a little matchmaking party? Now I realize, yeah, that can be kind of creepy, but what if you just said to your friends, or what if you just said to whoever you invited, why don't you just bring a single friend? Bring a single friend of yours. And if everybody brings a single friend, right, do the math on it, you're probably generating some pretty serious matchmaking potential if there's 47 people at a party. Charity party, I'll get to that a little bit later, but this is a great way to align with the purpose. And you'll come across as very sincere as long as it's something that you truly believe in. People love sincerity. Personality, brand, right? Speaks to your values. This is how to emotionally connect with people at the holiday party. Do a contest, right? Everybody has to bring some wine or something. Not that I'm always talking about alcohol, but, or, you know, best cookie party. Make it some kind of really fun, maybe kind of quirky contest. Bring your pet party. Do you know how many millennials have pets? I wrote an article about this once, but I just absolutely think that if you're targeting millennials or even Gen Xers, it might be a good idea to incorporate pets as much as you can. People are really enthusiastic if you're enthusiastic about pets. Some people are not, but if you've made it clear that this is a pet party, then people will know what to expect. But that's also a great way to align yourself with a mission. And then you can do like a charity kind of raffle or a charity donation of some sort, like donating to some kind of animal charity or something, right? Bring your lawyer or accountant party for all of you that want to network with COIs. Why not have it be like an appreciation event for the service professionals in your life? I mean, I feel like this one would maybe be a good one for a business. I mean, like a business hours holiday party, like a morning or an afternoon party. So the other thing is about the party. Like if 47 people are invited, obviously not all of them are going to show. So I would just call everyone who did not attend and tell them, you know, just because they didn't attend, it doesn't mean they're not a viable prospect. In fact, the people that are the busiest are probably the people that you want to talk to the most because they're either busy with other people or they're busy with their business. And if they're busy with business all the time, chances are, I don't know, that might be kind of a pretty important person. So, and even if they're not available, it's the gesture that counts, the human connection, the act of giving. So just make sure to follow up with the people who did not attend. Don't be mean about it, but just tell them you want to give them some relic from the party, like that you either want to get them into the Facebook group you established for the party, or you want to give them a souvenir from the party or something like that. It's the thoughtfulness that really is going to show you as sincere. And plus, like, nobody does that. Like, when was the last time you got a phone call from someone that you didn't go to their holiday party and they weren't mad about it or anything? They were just saying, hey, you know, we kind of missed you and I did save something for you. I saved you a piece of red velvet cake. That would get my motor revving. So, and remember, use social media. You know, I haven't gotten to the social media faction of the presentation yet, but post pictures to a Facebook group that you create. And you know, ask the guests to post pictures themselves. Now, you might have to get people to sign a release form, actually. But, you know, people love pictures. They like, because, you know, we're all kind of narcissistic and we're all kind of curious, too. And so those are the in-person techniques. Now, in terms of follow-up or if you want to just prospect in general, maybe regardless of the holiday party, a holiday prospecting tactic is chocolate. So, you can actually make them cookies with a little cute phrase on it. Make our holiday season that much sweeter. Stop by our holiday party. You can get from Chocomize. It's this company, they do like customized chocolate favors, right? So you can get like 500 chocolate business cards for 200 something. I just said I don't like business cards, but this is not really a business card. It's chocolate and everybody loves chocolate. So, you know, just personalized chocolates, use candies. Chocolate candies will never fail you, by the way, if you're trying to get somebody to do business with you or get a meeting with you, whether or not they attended your holiday party. Are you sleeping yet and bored? I think I'm going over the time allotted here, so I hope all of you don't decide to bolt. But if you do, by the way, I will just bring it back to, I think, here, which was, if you're bolting, here's the sarahgrillo.com. Go ahead, please join my monthly membership. You get a $25 discount, and Grillo Hall Web is the discount code. I hope that all of you will just take advantage of that because it's a really great offering. So again, Grill Hall Web, www.sarahgrillo.com. Okay, social media ideas. Remember to use the hashtags wishlist2018, for example. You can make up your own hashtag. Make it funny. Use humor. What not to say to your in-laws in the holidays, something like that. Holiday joke of the day on social media. What would happen if you just started posting a joke about the holidays every single day on your social media? Now keep it, oh, my compliance officer will never let me. Compliance is going to have nothing to say. If you're not talking about like annuities or you're not talking about finance, if you're just talking about something cool, as long as you don't make it inappropriate, I really don't think that compliance is going to have anything to say. Keep it clear of finance. Nobody cares about finance anyways. Just kidding. People are far less interested and would rather use somebody else's toothbrush than discuss little trivia facts about finance. I know some of you all are going to like fight me till the death about this and like go down swinging. But the truth of it is we're all people and we really want to just be entertained. So entertain people using social media. Have it have a holiday theme. Direct them to some kind of a thing. A holiday group we're just starting, a holiday contest. Here's our website. Here's some pictures. Here's an event we're having. Here's a webinar we're having, right? Contest, do the best funny holiday video contest, right? Make up things, be creative. Live stream your holiday party over YouTube. Remember, you're going to have to get a release, talk to your lawyers, and just have fun with it. Have fun with social media. During the holidays, try something different and don't be afraid of compliance. They're less hostile than you think if you steer clear of financial metrics and facts that are boring. Charitable giving. Okay, yeah, charitable giving is a great way. You know, for all of you grit, charitable remainder trust, charitable unit trust, right? You have to do this compliantly, but get a donation campaign going on there, matching gift if you can do that. Promote this through social media, newsletter, get a webinar about it, about charitable giving. Create a club for this or a community. Create a community. Remember I was barking about that earlier? Do it. Do social media. Now as we come to the end, one of my last ideas is the gift basket promotion. Make a festive-looking gift basket or some type of a goodie. Now, keeping in mind that a lot of companies, so here's the idea of collaboration. Collaboration works really well on social media. By collaboration, I mean finding a company that actually has a following. That's not going to help. It is. Let me just be clear about this. Collaborating with a company that has little presence on social media, little interest in social media, doesn't understand social media, doesn't like social media, is scared of social media, doesn't believe in social media, or has no brand on social media is not going to help anybody. Okay. So if you are looking to actually gain followers and get attention, you have to partner or collab with somebody that has at least as many followers as you and hopefully more than you. So when you're looking at partners to collaborate with, look at a company that does something that's kind of complementary to you. Make a gift basket with an estate planning company. if you're the kind of financial advisor that, you know, like a lot of these insurance people, like the insurance advisors, right? You would be great to partner with daycares. New parents like me, when I was a new parent, I had to get life insurance. Yes, believe it or not, I was a financial advisor. I didn't even have my own life insurance. I was in a rush after I had my, as I was pregnant with my second kid, I was in a frenzy. I had to get life insurance. Daycares, right? Daycares are connected with people that are, you know, maybe like at this point, they would probably be Gen Xers or millennials, I would think. Younger couples that have children and maybe have many of them. So that would be a great collabo, a gift basket idea. Okay. And you can just give the gift basket away at a joint event that you have when you collaborate with this other company. You don't have to go at it alone. And like I'm saying, if you can share the audience of another partner or another company that has people that kind of might be in the market, like in my daycare example, for what you do, then that is really a red hot opportunity, and it's likely the prospects will come from this. So promote it on social media, get a good partner. It was like in seventh grade, I had the science teacher that said, this is like so mean to even say, I'm not even gonna say his exact words, I recall, but he said, we were partnering on together on some like rock project when you have to look through a magnifying glass and identify the rocks like in a particular like rock set or whatever. My science teacher was like, just keep in mind, you're not going to do well if you partner with someone who's not as intelligent as you. What a funny thing to say. But it's true. Like if you partner with someone that's not as active with you as the marketing, you're going to be the horse pulling the cart, so to speak. And that's just never good for prospecting. Just find someone as good as you or better, hopefully better. Okay, so that's it. Before you leave, everybody, I want to open this up to questions, but also I just want to ask if you would all just sign up for my next webinar. You can sign up through my website. It's right there. And like I said, I'm going to be partnering with eMoney Advisor. eMoney Advisor and I are going to be talking about financial technology, specifically related to financial planning, the newest and greatest, what you should be doing in 2019. Sign up on the website, folks. I'm very humbly asking you to do that. I've enjoyed having you all here with me. And the other thing is, I would ask you to please take advantage right here of, let me see if I can even page this down a little bit. Those are my sources. So Grillo Hall Web right here. Sorry for the line going through my page. Grillo Hall Web is the discount code. I'm offering you a huge discount here on the first month of my membership. Cancelable at any time. It's a video marketing. It's a set of videos. You get three a month, and it's going to show you online lead generation techniques using mostly LinkedIn, but other strategies as well. There's information about it on the website. I just would encourage you to take advantage of this because the offer ends tomorrow. So I wouldn't want to see you miss that. Like I said, $25 discount. That's a huge, huge cutoff the first month. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and I just want to open it up. Is there anyone that wants to type anything into the chat box? Okay, so I don't see any questions. Great meeting. Thank you. Okay, you're welcome. So, advisors, enter in your questions here. While you're entering in your questions, I'm going to keep talking. I see people are still on the line. Love having you here, by the way. But while you're still on the line, Jeff, okay, so Jeff Weston to everyone, how nitty-gritty will your eMoney webinar get? So that's a great question, actually. Jeff, thank you so much for your question. My eMoney webinar is not going to be like a demo or anything. I think, you know, if we wanted an eMoney demo, then I think we could all get one. No offense to eMoney, but, you know, it's not going to really be like a product offering webinar. It's going to be more about the trends in financial advising. And I just know it's going to be more high level. So I'm going to be there talking about marketing and branding and how to use financial planning a little bit better than I see many advisors doing it to differentiate your practice. Okay. So that's going to be the first thing, Jeff, is it's going to be high level and okay. It's going to be in the beginning, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the importance of planning because, as you know, the industry is going to 10 basis points and $125 an hour. And, you know, there is a little bit of fee compression. I don't know. Actually, is it a myth? I think that, you know, things could be done about it a lot more than people think. But I do know that planning is going to be one thing that is really going to get into directly impacting people's lives. It's something that I think is going to help you to resist the fee compression elements of life that exists for financial advisors right now. So I'm going to talk about how to do that with your brand. And then Connor Sung from eMoney is going to get on there. And I think he's going to talk a little bit more about the specific ways that you can use technology to bring that planning out. So he's going to be a little bit more nitty gritty. Sorry, Connor. I didn't mean to call you nitty gritty. He's not a nitty gritty person. He just might be getting into topics that are. You're welcome, Jeff. And I hope we'll see you there. Did you sign up yet? Okay. So let me ask you, what other questions do people have? Advisors, did you think this webinar stunk? Did this webinar stink? I mean, there's still 30 of you here. We had about 50 at one point. We had 133 people registered for this webinar and about, I think, 50 or so at one point made it out, which I'm really grateful for. But my question is, was this a good webinar? What did you feel was most useful? Here's what I want to ask all you advisors. Type it into the chat box. What was useful for you about this webinar? Was anything useful? Nobody's responding. It's okay. I won't take it personally. The chocolate business cards. Hey. Wouldn't you just like fall out of your chair if someone sent you a chocolate business card? Thanks, Glenn Williams, for saying that. I know. I would be like so excited to do that. In fact, I might actually kind of do. Oh, Ashley, thank you. Ashley, you're so cool. You're like so helpful on this webinar. Thank you, Ashley. I hope we're connected on LinkedIn, are we? If not, connect with me. It was good. I was diligently reading the advisor perspectives article on the pitch. Thanks for reading, Mark Kerwood. And it's just like I have just found that advisors really are gobbling up this content that I'm providing about how to talk about what you do and how to talk to people in a way that is going to make them connect with you. It's actually a lot easier than you would think, but it's not intuitive. And the reason it's not intuitive, it's because, no offense to anybody that I used to work for or work with or companies where I used to work, but, you know, let's be honest, finance in the past, I think, was very slanted towards presenting the financial professionals as deities, you know, as immortal and as lofty and superior. And I think that, to be honest with you, the recession kind of dispelled a lot of those stereotypes or those images or perceptions that people had. And the truth of it is that, so Luis Bratkovich is commenting, and I'll get to you, Lois. Is it Lois or Luis? I'm sorry, Lois. Okay, hi, Lois. I'll get to you your comment in a minute, Lois. Thank you so much for typing in. Anyways, I just think that it's time for the veil to come down. It's time for finance to stop being so shrouded and to just be more true and connect with people. Because, you know, I don't know, I'm not a baby boomer, but from what I understand, I think maybe boomers as a generation have been more focused on achievements and how things look on paper and success. And maybe that's why advisor marketing is this way. I don't know. Maybe that's all just a myth that I'm kind of perpetrating here, but that is one of the notions behind one of the ideas that I have about why things are the way that they are. Now, I mean, keep in mind my experience as someone that went through Lehman, couldn't get a job, was a little humbling for me. I got knocked off of my pedestal. And so maybe, you know, this is something that I think Gen X and millennials are used to. I think that's something that's maybe made us see life in a little bit of a different way. And from how our parents or the boomers see things. You know, I almost wish I hadn't been through that because, I mean, I got to tell you, it didn't feel too good at the moment. But then again, I'm also grateful for it because I'm able to see truths that I couldn't see before. You know, and especially me, like, I went to Harvard. I went to NYU Stern. I'm a CFA charter holder. And you got to understand that when you go through like what people envision or people hold out many times as like symbols of success, right? Harvard educated, CFA charter holder. And nothing against those institutions. I mean, I learned a lot of stuff. But is it about knowing stuff? Is knowing stuff what really makes you successful? I mean, not really, right? And it was the human quotient that I felt I was really kind of dumb about and was neglecting. And then after Lehman, when the world came crashing down and you had CFAs walking the streets, and you had Harvard MBAs and everyone walking the streets, you know, it was like, and it was just, yeah, like, you know, thanks for the people who are still commenting. I'm going to get you in a minute. But like, I just feel like the light of day is coming into this industry and people need to be communicated with in such a different way than before. So that's what I'm doing actually. And I, you know, I've been kind of pushing this video portal here. I think it's great. I'm telling you, I won't let you down. If you felt fulfilled by this webinar, I think that you should experience my monthly membership series. Like I said, I'm giving it to you, $25 discount. You know, buy it before November 29th. Here's the code right here. But I just feel like I want people to be with me because I have so many ideas and I'm just constantly throwing them out. And you're going to see them over video. Like my videos are actually going to show you what to say on LinkedIn, how to maneuver on LinkedIn, what to write and what not to write. And that's this whole like lining up with what I really am doing for the industry. And so I really hope all of you will check that out. But anyway, so Lois, I'm so sorry, Lois Brackovich, if I'm mispronouncing your name. Forgive me in advance, Lois. I thought the webinar was useful with some of your party ideas. Cool, thank you. You should invent your own though, because you know I'm extremely like kind of strong and opinionated about the things I like and don't like. But I'm sure you have your own, you know, kind of tastes as well. And also about being genuine and authentic. Yeah. And what we do and how to convey in a way that's conversational. Right on. Yeah. My first degree was a BFA, and watching my friends drown in student loans is one of the reasons I got into this field. Totally. Schmodally. Millennials really relate to that. And it helps when snagging older clients, millennial kids as new clients. Okay, hold on. It helps when snagging older clients, millennials, kids as new clients. Right, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, that's a huge thing too. It's like, how do you talk to a millennial, even if you're not a millennial, right? I'm not a millennial, I'm a Gen Xer. Millennials, and I just think that millennials, we millennials, I'm sorry, oh my gosh, I just misspoke. We Gen Xers, I think, identify a lot with the millennials. Because it's this whole thing of like, in a way, we're the generation that kind of watched the American dream, the quote unquote American dream, like fall down. And in a way, the American dream kind of got us into trouble. Like I was very responsible always with my money, and not the people who have loan debt are not responsible, but I just was able to like pay off a lot of my student loans. But like, you know, this whole thing was like, you have to have a master's degree. Great. So I went and got an MBA. I mean, nothing against NYU, but I don't know that that degree is really even worth the paper that it's written on. And I know some people have had very good experiences with business school. Who knows? The fact that I have an MBA is maybe a reason people want to do business with me that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise. Maybe it does. I mean, I think it can't hurt because it makes me, like, as a financial writer, I can not only understand like the technicalities of what I do for people and what people need me to do for them, but I can also understand from like an emotional perspective as well. And who knows, maybe the MBA had something to do with that. I think much more my CFA than the MBA, but it was this whole thing where I just remember like my whole life growing up, it was like, oh, heavens forbid you'll ever be unemployed. And even when I started out as an entrepreneur, it was like this whole thing of, it was like, you know how many people said to me like, Sarah, you know, you're an intelligent, they always say intelligent girl. They never say intelligent woman. Like no one ever says you're an intelligent woman. Oh my gosh, what happened to my webinar? Nobody ever says like you're an intelligent woman. Everybody says, oh, you're an intelligent girl, Sarah. For an intelligent girl, why, I can't understand why you have to go be an entrepreneur. It's like, yeah, you know why? Because I can like, because I, you know, that way I don't have to answer to anybody because I'm like really creative and no one really knows how to deal with that I've ever worked for. Like every single time, you know what I'm saying? Like there's always a problem with my creativity, no matter what I do. That's why I'm an entrepreneur. Or like they would say things like, oh, like so smart. Like look at all your degrees. Can't you do better than this? Or like when I was even a financial advisor, you know, Sarah, this is really not the field you should be in. You know what? What it says on paper is just so different. It's just, you know, I kind of feel like if I had to go back, would I maybe have done all of those things? I don't know. Like in a way, I was kind of a victim of society, so to speak. And I think that's the way that a lot of millennials feel and a lot of even the us Gen Xers feel. You know, it's kind of like watching the world kind of cave in front of your eyes. That's what we went through. Not that we're bitter about it. I mean, I think a lot of us have rebounded. But just so you know, advisors, when you're talking to people with kids that are my age or maybe a little younger, I mean, this is the mindset that they are in. So, you know, what does that mean? It means having a website that actually has things. Like, how many advisors have a website with something that a millennial could actually download and enjoy reading? Or is it just the normal stuff about, like, what's your retirement strategy? Get out of here with that. Like, even me, I'm 40. Like, for me, retirement is conceivably nowhere in sight. Okay? So how about, you know, something different? How about, like, for me, I would just think more information about, I'll tell you one thing that's, like, really annoying as a mother, okay? As a mother and as a parent, I'm constantly annoyed by, and no offense to, like, the many professionals that I've worked with that have helped me with my finances, but, like, I'm a financial person, even now I would consider myself one, even though I'm not an advisor or a money manager anymore, but I have managed money in the past. So it's like I manage my own money, but yet I still have to have an insurance person. I have, like, in fact, two insurance people because I have a business, right? So I'm a business insurance person, a personal insurance person. Then I got an estate planner or like an estate attorney, and then I have an accountant. Like, let me tell you, when has any of these people ever asked to talk to the other person? Nobody ever has. Okay. So, why doesn't somebody make, like, a blog about that? Why doesn't somebody make a blog about how to find a good attorney? Do you know how hard it is to find an attorney? Like, to really know when you don't know what you're doing? Like, do you know how hard it is to find an attorney if you don't even know? Or, like, let's say, heavens forbid, for someone going through a divorce, I'm not going through a divorce, but if I were going through a divorce, do you know how hard it is to navigate things like that? Like, you got to deal with the courts. You got to deal with the lawyers. You got to deal. You could have a nervous breakdown, right? So I think divorce or something like that is, like, probably one of the most stressful things you could go through. Legal things like that. You know, instead of, like, talking about estate planning and what your estate plan should include, why don't you get into the nitty gritty of it and cover how do you actually find a lawyer that you can trust? Because they're expensive as anything, right? All right, what other questions do people have as I blab on and on? There's only 16 of y'all left. Did you sign up? Did anybody sign up for my next webinar? I hope so. Did anybody sign up for my video portal yet? I hope so. Already, Jose. Hey, Jose, thanks. Jose, did you like this webinar? Ashley, how sign up for the next webinar? Do you have any suggestions for websites? Yeah. Our website explains our entire holistic strategy and history of working with multi-generational families. Also, we are a family business. I am the fifth generation. Cool. And speaking of being creative, I made the website myself. I love this webinar because it's talking about how to use creative talents in a somewhat colorless field. Right on, girlfriend. Yeah. Thanks for signing up for my next webinar. Yes, I did. I liked all your webinars so far. Thank you, Jose, my buddy. Okay, so. Not the people who naysay against me are not my buddies, you know? It's just sometimes people are, like, kind of mean about it. I don't really get upset about it, but sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm a human being. I can't help it. Anyways, so Ashley, to address your question, I actually have a podcast coming out in December on advisor perspectives. It will also be on my website. And so I really hope that you are following me because you will be able to find in the podcast tips about how to create a great website. The other thing is that I have a blog coming out on the same topic. So website and blog coming up in December. But the biggest thing is just, you know, our website explains our entire holistic strategy and history of working with multi-generational families. I don't know. I mean, what can I connect with there? I mean, who are you targeting with the website? I just will say in general, I'll give you some general guidelines for websites. And it's that you really would want to make sure that you have something that people that can capture people so that you're not just ChapmanAdvisors.com. I guess it shows that they can trust us. Yeah, but trust a lot of times comes from a place of it's subconscious. You know, you almost have to, yeah, just have to connect with people. That's the first thing. And then you can build the trust. But if there's no connection, we're not even. we're not even like three steps away from talking about trust. Okay. I would just say that some general takeaways for a great website. I would say a great website is going to give people something that they can take away with them, and that will also enable you to not have given away your content for free. Not that you're necessarily charging them for this content, but they're giving you their email address in exchange for your information. So it should have some kind of like really good download. It should have something that makes you come alive. So a video, or it should have some nice pictures that are you doing very normal things, not necessarily that like conference room picture or that you talking on the phone picture or whatever. The other thing is that the website should have, I think, some kind of really good content that is extremely insightful and that is going to give people a sense of, you know, just speak to people, right? You really want to have people that they can feel like they can be related, that they can relate to you. And so, you know, how do you do that? I mean, I'm speaking in generalities here, but there's a lot that goes into that. How do you create relatable content? I cover all of this on my podcast, so just make sure that you stay with me for that. Chat advisors. Okay, that sounds good. Our business has operated solely on word of mouth. Oh, and you know, advertisements or websites till now. Ashley, just send me an email here. Here, I'm just going to send you. Ashley, send me an email. Did I just send this to Mark? I don't want to send this to Mark. No offense. Here. You know, you can actually message people like privately through this thing. That's so cool. Actually, everyone can see my screen anyways. So that's just my email. Ashley, send me an email and we can just, you know, maybe have a call about this, about your website and about your strategy. Okay. Let's set that up for next week. Cause you know, like I said, it's just very specific. Yes, you're welcome. Okay. 11 participants left. Who's left? Everybody log on. Send me a message if you're left. If you're left here, if you're still here on the line, Ashley, not you and Mark, I already know you're here. Okay. You're good. Thanks for the webinar today. Cool. Jose. So Jose, are you doing a website? Still here. You're still here. Jose, are you going to do your website? Did you mention to me once you were going to do a website, or is that a different Jose? I'm sure there's more than one person named Jose, and maybe even more than one person named Jose who likes my webinars. Yes, I'll follow up with you. Okay, Jose, do it soon, because I would say if you're going to – Yama's here. Hey, Yama. So Yama, tell me, what's your story? Hey, Sarah. Hi. So, Jose, I just would want you to set up the meeting like in December with me, because in January, I think you would want to like, I mean, it depends on whatever, however things are going in your life, but I think we should at least talk, because, like I said, it's really, you know, you don't have to like be right about to, launch the website to just be getting ideas about it. Like, for example, it can be great to just be constantly nurturing your content, like your pictures, your ideas, your videos. Those can be taken at any time. And so I think we should just maybe have a conversation about your brand and what you want it to be and stuff like that. So let's have that in December. Send me an email, okay? Bye. Hey, Yama. Hey, Sarah. Sintonique. Did I say that wrong? 2 more minutes in this webinar, then I think they're going to, gotcha, will do. Cool. I think they're going to kick us off. Thanks everybody for the webinar, by the way. This is so cool. You know, 133 people registered, and then I think I had about 50 or so at one point. It just goes to show you. I was really worried I was going to have to upgrade and do the one that you can get more with 100 people on it, but I didn't have to do that, thankfully, which I'm glad for. So what should I write about in my next blog? I have a whole bunch of stuff coming out in the next month. What should I write about, everybody? And anyone have any requests for content? Webinars? What webinars do you want to see? We have 1 minute left here. If you hear that swishing sound in the background, it's not me doing anything disgusting. I'm just drinking water Gotcha. We'll do robo-advisors. Like, okay, cool. Jose, thank you. Jose, what about robo-advisors, though? Is it like how to use a robo-advisor, or is it how to pick a robo-advisor for your practice? Is it how not to compete with robo-advisors? Like, what are you thinking of in terms of that? I'll write it down. I'm writing it down, actually. I can't write it on my screen because I can't switch screens. Robo-advisors. What about that, Jose? What do you want to know? How to compete with or use them? Jose, I actually have a podcast on this already. It's on my website. I actually interviewed Betterment. So if you go to my podcast, it was one of the earlier ones. You're going to have to keep scrolling to earlier. Oh, you heard it already. Cool. I have articles about it and stuff like that. Okay, it's 1:30. I have to go. For the 11 of you who are still here, thanks for being cool. And thanks, everybody, for a good webinar. I really enjoyed having everybody here. And I really hope. Oh, okay. So you wanted to schedule a call. So let me look here. Let me see if I can send you my schmishmail email. Okay. Yama, you got it. Okay, Yama. Yeah, send me that email. We'll set up on my cal. Okay, so everybody, 12 participants. I'm gaining. Thank you, Mark. You're welcome. Good to talk to you again. Okay, everybody. So I'll see you on December 19th. Please sign up. That would be so cool. You would really make me so happy. And okay, Ashley, cool. Talk to you too. And thanks everybody for watching. I really appreciate this. I want you to stay with me. Please check the membership, Grill Hall Web, use the discount code, and I will see all of you soon. Bye now.